Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to call this meeting to order. I need a motion to approve the agenda for this meeting.
So moved.
Moved, seconded. By Hortensia.
Second.
Hortensia.
Wasn't on the website.
All right, is there any discussion or amendments to make to the agenda?
Yes, the agenda wasn't on the website. We couldn't find it.
Yeah. It had the wrong date on it.
Okay, well, that's not really an amendment.
No, well, how can we approve the agenda if we haven't seen it?
Wait, hold on.
It was emailed.
It was on the website.
Oh, it's email.
The link to the website was on the website.
Sue? Go ahead and take
you
that.
Have to put yourself on the mic.
We have extra guests, so we're running.
So where is the agenda for today?
Oh.
It's under August.
August. No wonder we didn't know.
But you had a link.
That's the same thing.
Okay, where am I sitting? That's not going to block.
With the secretary later.
No, but we didn't get to see the agenda yet.
I'll come over here and kick him.
What?
No, I'm going to block you. Napkins? Napkins? Cleaned up. Okay, I can't do there.
How could we approve
the BYOC?
We didn't see it.
Hi. You look like a
thunder. So we can see
it. Okay, now I'm going
to
He will flash you momentarily.
Perfection is divine locus status. That's the divine level.
Can you flash the agenda?
Okay.
Then we can move to a
Can you pull it up on your computer?
Oh, September 1-10, 10-15.
Yeah. It's the wrong date. I'm sorry, that's my fault.
So, let's see what's on it today. I'd like to pass it to the vote. All those in favor of the agenda being approved, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Very well. Thank you. Unanimous on the agenda. We have two sets of minutes. We start with the minutes from the 18th of May. I'm going to print those. Need a motion to approve the minutes for the 18th of May.
Move to approve.
David moves. And Barb seconds. Any discussion or amendments needed on this set of minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving these minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Me.
Okay, one abstention.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't print it. I printed the wrong thing. That last month's.
We're all doing silly things these days. We're going to be overwhelmed. Going crazy. Okay, on to the next set of minutes. These minutes are for August 24th. I need a motion to approve the minutes for August 24th.
So move.
Thank you, Sue. Second. Thank you, Solomon. Second. Thank you, Solomon. Any discussion or amendments for this set of minutes? I see none. Okay, all those in favor of approving this set?
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I know the heat, the humidity is like sucking life out of all of us. All those opposed? Any abstentions? Alright, that was unanimous. Sir, is it? Public forum. Is there anyone that would like to have the floor for a hearing of citizens for no more than 5 minutes?
Only 5 minutes.
It'll take less than a minute. This Friday, as you all know, we have a flex day. Is that correct? Flex day coordinators and all. But apart from that, in the afternoon at about 4 o'clock, there is going to be available to anyone interested a tour of the performing arts facility. The reason why this came about is the Performing Arts Advisory Council wanted very much to tour the building, also you have not seen the community folks. And so Dr. Hotoys has kindly agreed to be sort of a tour guide. There will not be any construction workers at that time, so you don't have to wear hard hats unless you want to. But so we would meet at 4 o'clock at Dr. Hotoys' office after the flex day, take the tour, which will take about 30 minutes maybe, go inside and see what's going on. You don't have to sign up or anything. Just be there at 4 o'clock, Dr. Hotoys' office. We'll go from there.
Thank you, Brian. Is there anyone else who would like the floor? Or that's here.
Just to remind everyone, the annual transfer day is going to be October 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So just let your students know that we will have a lot of university reps here to answer all your questions.
Thank you. Anyone else for hearing of citizens? Going once. Going twice. Gone. On to announcements, I believe. Yes. Brian's already given us flex day. Is Friday. Then we have the reminders about our online grading for the midterm grades. They are due on the 18th. So we need to be going online and making sure that we indicate those students that are not performing in passing so that there can be some sort of intervention. And basketball. There's going to be a tournament on the 16th and 17th, and they are looking for faculty volunteers, and you can also start up a team if you would like faculty.
Is Jason coming back?
Is Jason coming back? Maybe.
Yeah, no.
We could invite him. It's the weekend. Maybe he would consider driving down.
Who's the star of the game Monday?
Alright, so contact Stacy Lee if you want to put together a team or volunteer to assist in any way during the tournaments. And the last one, we're still pulling together most of the details. It's the Global Connection and Exchange Program. A member of that team will be coming to visit on our campus on the 20th, and we've reserved CO 101 from 12 to 3. She is the creator of the GCEP Afghanistan and Pre-College Institute on Facebook, and I've actually been connected with all of it now. You can discuss things with teachers and students in Afghanistan, anything you want. We have discussion boards going on about health, music, dancing, politics, you name it, they want to talk about it. I found it to be very rewarding, and I'm learning more about Afghanistan and the life that they have over there than I did last year teaching the kite runner, and I'm hoping if my division chair will let me, I'll teach it again next semester and use this in my class so that students can connect directly with other students and ask them some of their questions about Afghanistan and the life there. But I encourage everyone to be there, and if you can find a way to make it work in your classroom, this sort of cultural exchange, please come, get some more information, and get hooked up with students over there. Any questions? There'll be more information coming. We're working on flyers and everything right now. All right, leadership reports. I actually have an announcement. I received a letter from the Academic Senate, and a member of our faculty here at PVC was appointed by the Academic Senate at state level for Occupational Education Committee for this year, and that is Peter Martinez. So if you do see him or shoot him an email, congratulate him on that appointment. Oh, Ms. Vice President, anything to say? Report?
No.
How about you, sir?
Nothing.
All right. On to the committee reports. Are there any committee reports at this time? Brian.
The SRO committee met today. Our typical meeting time is 2 o'clock on these Tuesdays, right before the Academic Senate meeting. Major things we talked about were institutional level SLOs, institutional or degree level SLOs, and that's as part of a work program of the year. We are looking at developing a set of recommendations for institutional level SLOs. Secondly, we look at the resolution that I think is not going to be discussed today, but it's the resolution on incorporating SLO questions into the faculty evaluation. Since it was considered by the Senate, we wanted to incorporate that. We also briefly discussed my attendance at the SLO workshop by the CTA. You know, it's not an Academic Senate, but it's still part of an SLO activity. And finally, we also wanted, the members wanted to reiterate that our meetings are, like any meeting here at Public College, is open to everyone. And we recognize that SLOs are going to be controversial in some respects, or sensitive issues and such. And we want to get as open as we can, as open as possible. So anyone, anytime is invited to attend, join in the discussion, challenge our thinking, whatever the case may be. We're always welcome to do that. Once again, 2 o'clock, right before the Academic Senate meeting. It's a fast-paced meeting. We don't have a lot of time, but you're more than invited to attend.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any other committee reports at this time? Going once? Twice? Gone. On to unfinished business. The final reading and approval of Resolution 2010-5. After reviewing some board policy, I was actually considering taking a motion on postponing or tabling this indefinitely because board policy already covers this for us. And we do have the right to withdraw students who do not show up that first day or that first week. It is our choice. Louise.
I like the fact that we have a resolution.
Of our own?
Of our own. Because that helps brings it to our forefront and makes our awareness, because this is really handling it differently than what we've ever really done before.
Okay. Brian?
Well, I'm just going to make the motion that we drop this.
Okay. How many of you would prefer that we go ahead and approve this resolution so that we have one through the Senate? Show of hands. I see two. Okay. French? Yeah. Right. Brian, you want to go ahead and make your motion?
I'll make the motion that we, in light of the fact that there is, on record, a board policy regarding the add to drop policies and such, that this would simply duplicate what is already existing, and we would simply follow what exists as far as board policy. So my motion is that we discontinue further efforts for a resolution.
Motion made.
Second.
And Kevin seconds. Any further discussion
no.
on the matter? If you're curious about it, it's board policy 5070.
Do we have it on our website?
It should be there.
It's on the
cover. But I have a copy right here. Come on, see it. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I will call for the question. All those in favor of eliminating the efforts, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, two opposed. Any abstentions? Measure passes. Nothing under previous business. New business. We have guests with us today. And in order to handle this as quickly as possible, I'm going to handle this just like we would if we were approving a resolution. And I will ask for a motion to approve the document or endorse the document. And when we get to the discussion part, George, Lisa, and Vicki will take over so that you can ask any of the questions that you have. And they can also, if they have statements, they will make those statements in connection with the distance learning standards and policy. So, that said, I'm calling for a motion to approve the document.
So moved.
Brian makes the motion and Steve remains second. And that done, now we are open for discussion.
Just a couple things. The reason we're doing this is for our accreditation. We have to do a substantive change proposal through WASC for our distance learning classes. And that would be the online classes and the ITV classes. It's all considered distance education. So to begin this process, we are changing my department. My department will now be distance learning. That will be correspondence education, which is our normal distance education, distance education, which is online and ITV. We are consolidating the department. After Title III goes away, we all need to be, you know, assimilated anyway. We've moved Larry Turner into the office down the hall, so he's more accessible to faculty. He's there, so you guys can come grab him if you need him. We're trying to boost our support, so to say, for faculty, both in the online and in the ITV components of this. The substantive change proposal, I don't know, it's a binder like this that we have to write. It's like a self-study. We'll be doing a self-study of the correspondence ed, which was never done, the online and the ITV. Okay, this means basically we need to change our course outline template. Do you remember when we had to add the distance ed language to all the course outlines? This is the same thing. Standards are a part of that. Academic standards, which comes from the Academic Senate. I don't know if anybody got this, but we had to write board policies consolidating the department. We had to organizational chart, and that goes to the board tonight. Standards for Distance Learning is an Academic Senate document. We researched it all summer. We looked at several colleges who have these types of documents, and we kind of consolidated all their best ideas with what works for Palo Verde.
So is that subsumed in one of these? The academic standards?
That's what the distance learning standards are.
Is that what I'm
looking
at?
Yes. Okay, yes,
that's what I
printed. Yes. We have all the manuals. You know, we have the WASC manual, the Chancellor's Office manual, and a few other manuals they threw in for good measure. Killed a lot of trees. But I have the distance learning standards printed out in case anybody would like a hard copy also. I'll just kind of pass it back and forth. And this is the document we'll be reviewing today. To get this
accreditation or substantive change. Our research on the green paper shows the 15 items that we have to address before we can be accredited to offer these kinds of classes. And George is going to go through those real fast.
Hopefully when I talk about these, you'll have questions, so we'll go through them one at a time. There's about five or six that we've already handled through board policy or updating the master plan or updating the catalog, et cetera. So there's some of these 15 that were already completed. Just to touch on a little bit about what Vicki said, when we started researching what we needed to do to help Title III, it kind of opened this big can of worms, to say the least. So we started reading distance ed manuals from the Chancellor's Office, from WASC, from just all the places that Vicki talked about, and realized, we're a little bit in trouble here. We should never be offering online courses without a course outline template that we've approved. And that's just one example. We also started looking back at correspondence, and we realized, although we have been through two accrediting cycles dealing with correspondence, we've never applied and completed a substantive change application. Okay, so we contacted WASC and said, hey, we've been through two cycles of accreditation, everything's great. And they said, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but guess what, you still have to do this. So it is what it is, so we're gonna move forward. The best way that we'd like to do this is do both the standards for correspondence as well as distance education, which is online, ITV, etc. In the standards, you see the definitions of the two different ones. We didn't make those up. Those come straight from the Chancellor's Office, so we don't agree with them entirely. I'm sure you're not either, but we get to live with them. These are items that we discovered that we need to handle prior to doing our self-study. Okay, this is for correspondence or online. Okay, so the first one is ongoing training for faculty. What we did is we took quotes right out of the handbooks. So the first quote is, most faculty who engage in it will require ongoing training. Because technological currency is important, the level of support for staff development is one indicator of an institutional commitment to distance education. So what does that mean? That means the district's on the hook to make sure we have training available for faculty. Very simple. Do we have training available for faculty right now?
Not much.
Not a whole lot. Okay, so we know that. And no, I'm not a... I can't help you, Bruce. So out of this came, a few of these, came the recommendation to create the Instructional Technology Committee from College Council. Okay, so that committee's been formed. The people are in place, they just haven't met yet. And there's gonna be some urgency to get them meeting. The whole idea was make sure faculty had their own IT as opposed to the IT that business office has, okay? So that might be information technology, and we all know that hasn't helped much on this side of the house, so we're looking for instructional technology. So any questions on the ongoing training for faculty? No, good. Faculty evaluation, big one. I know you guys are gonna throw stuff at me, so I'll go ahead and put two things up. Here's the quote out of the handbook. Ongoing evaluation of faculty involved in distance education should include appropriate recognition of all scholarly activities and be consistent with faculty evaluation in face-to-face instruction. Okay, so what does that mean? We can read a lot of things into that. We currently have a faculty evaluation process. Does it need to be reevaluated for distance ed? Maybe, maybe not. Is it something we're going to worry about today? Absolutely not. This is probably 2 years down the road when we have enough online courses to offer an online program. Okay, so an online program is over 50%. We're nowhere near being able to do this now, so you want an opener for negotiations? You have one coming up, but probably not for a couple years.
We don't need an opener. The district does.
Okay. Whatever.
We don't have to.
We don't have to worry about it at this point. Okay? Any questions?
No.
Yes, I think that's
Robert.
Yeah.
I don't think Bill said we don't need to worry about it. I think Bill said the district need, if the district wants to do this, it has to bring this and other bargaining issues to the table. That's on them.
Right.
I'd say get it started as soon as possible. It should be easy to fix, but it's got to be hard.
No, absolutely.
I'm
agree.
Trying to agree with you.
Yeah.
I know it's sometimes hard to recognize.
Especially when we can't see you.
Yeah, I know. Brian.
I agree with Robert's point, first of all. And I guess I'm a little puzzled about what this does in fact mean.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it sounds like there might be an assumption that faculty who teach distance education are not necessarily full-time faculty.
It's up for debate. This is the exact quote out of the handbook.
Yeah.
So,
and therefore would be subject to all the same standards that full-time faculty would. But other than that, I don't understand what this really says.
We just took the quote right out of the handbook, and we're going to all debate it over the next few months.
Maybe broader context.
Yeah.
Okay.
One last comment.
Uh-huh.
I see this as a positive, because people maybe could get brownie points for doing things that they wouldn't otherwise get brownie points for because they're in some other state. And if they're teaching distance ed via online, this gives an opportunity to be recognized to get the brownie points.
And now all 15, some of these 15, we don't have to do anything because they're already, we already do it. So just because it's on here doesn't mean we have to do something. Okay, I'm just giving you the big picture here. Dedicated IT support, another biggie. Faculty access to appropriate technology and software, as well as to support personnel, is critical to a successful program. So it goes right back to what we just talked about, an IT committee focusing on the needs of the faculty. So once again, something that the district is responsible for. They got to provide that. The next one are board policies, student access to faculty, which is Ed Code issue, instructor contact. You'll see that in the standards for sure. All approved courses offered as distance ed include regular effective contact between instructor and students through group or individual meeting, blah, 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 blah. So we know that we need some sort of standard for, I'll give you an example, how many contacts with a student is appropriate for whatever class, for correspondence, or online. So that's something that needs to be negotiated, or not negotiated, but decided, discussed, and decided upon as the standard for whatever modality for our school. And B, all distance ed courses are delivered consistent with guidelines issued by the chancellor's office, etc. So we're saying we have to say how we met all those guidelines. Definitions and sample board policy are in this packet. they're not there yet. Oh, okay. The next one is board policy, student participation and ID. So this means issues about the evaluation of student work, including assurances that the student who registers in a distance ed course or program is the same student who participates in and completes the program and receives the academic credit, must be implemented. So as an institution, we have to decide what our policy is that ensures us that whoever's doing the work in the class is the one that's enrolled in the class. Okay? If we researched many other community colleges and we asked this question, what do you do? And they all say single point of entry into whatever classroom management system you use. So when we talk about logging onto the bridge, could count because it's a secure login. We just need to decide that. Goes right back to why we need a portal. We have a portal. We can track students, where they are, what they're doing, who they are. If they're, you know, if they're supposedly in your class, why are they also logged in looking at, you know, some other part of the, you know, the catalog, for instance. you know, are why are they doing two classes at the same time? Why are they logged into two different classes at the same time? That's a strong argument just to have a portal and just that right there, is knowing where the students are, what they're and what they're doing. Any questions about that? Anybody, I mean, what's your feeling on that? On how are we going to know that the student doing the work is the one enrolled in the class?
I think you need a webcam too to identify. It could be their brother taking that class though.
Yeah, but it's...
But how would you know they're doing just the brother around them anyway?
You got to be realistic too.
Send to your classroom. Do you ask them for their picture ID?
Yeah.
What order, please, to be recognized so you can boot efficiently.
Okay. No questions. Do you have a question?
Where are we at on the portal? I mean, if
we own two of them. Neither one of them are up and running. It's not important.
Like having two flat tires.
Yeah. There you go. With one spare. I can't answer that. I think as we get closer and we get closer to getting the IT, the technology committee up and running. You know, Irma.
It's on the back burner right now. There's just too much going on with colleague that has priority for admissions and records. So it's on the list of things to do. It's just not.
There you go. Assessment of distant education student skills. And here's the quote. Since a distance education environment requires certain skills and competencies to succeed, the institution should have the means to assess whether students have them. So, do we want to assess every student on campus or just the ones in the online classes?
Just the ones that are accessing online.
So if we polled community colleges and that deliver online training throughout the state, they're all going to say during the first week of class, we make sure we give them assignments where they can make sure that they're able to use Word, to use PowerPoint, to use whatever it is that's needed in that class. And if they don't have those skills, we refer them to the Learning Skills Center where there's training modules online that they can update their skills. Okay? Questions?
It's a little ambiguous. I thought
it's WASC. It's always ambiguous.
Yeah. I thought what they meant were distance education skills, such as being able to use a computer, that type of skill, being able to handle a course from a distance, and so on and so forth.
That's part of it.
But it sounds like the other part of it is you're talking about basic competencies, meaning course-specific competencies like English or math, that type of thing.
Right. So if you're teaching an English class online, they need to know how to use Word, and they don't need to know how to research.
Well,
if you already have a prereq in place. Well, if you're talking about Ponder's Excel class, he's going to make sure they also at least can get on Excel. That's all. Or an accounting class, they need to know how to use Excel.
Currently, we assess everyone. I mean, people are assessed to get into classes for basic skills.
Mm-hmm.
What Louise stuff.
Right.
But what I think you're talking about here is something apart from that. You're talking about computer skills, online and related types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Using Word might be one of those, mm-hmm. but also knowing how to log on and connect with
absolutely.
Is another basic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have looked at other distance ed programs, and typically there is a front end that a student has to go through in order to be approved to take distance ed classes for online courses. They fill out a survey, they do a test of skills, they do a number of things up front. Not anyone can just go to many colleges and take a distance ed class. They have to go through an assessment process that says that they have certain skills.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. What we have seen is that an online student will typically take the online matric process. So they're going to go through orientation, they're going to have a quiz, they're going to see their counselor online, they're going to, you know, typically they're going to do their online application, they're going to enroll online. So if they can do all those things in matriculation and the quizzes that are part of that, it gives them, gives the educators a good idea that they're capable of at least starting a class. So I haven't, I mean, I'd like to see where, I'd like to see that. To see what they're doing.
Community College has something today.
Okay, cool.
Brian, then Barb.
Just a quick yes, colleges do that. We usually have, it's a self-evaluation. If you're able to answer all of these 10 questions with a yes, yes, I can work with the benefit.
So part of an online matriculation process?
I believe it's a self-assessed type of thing for students. Mm-hmm. You're able to work independently, set your own deadlines, all this kind of thing, not necessarily have immediate data contact with a disruptor. Various kinds of, if you're able to answer eight of these 10 questions affirmatively, mm-hmm. then the chances are you'll be okay in the distance setting.
Okay.
But it's the option is to the students to decide for himself.
Cool. Nevertheless, that's something we have to work on to be able to write the self-study. Barb?
Educational Testing Services, which is SAT basically, has a information literacy ability test, which is complex in both reading, writing, and computer skills. Mm-hmm. And the other one, which is pretty much the same, but is a lot cheaper, comes out of Kent State, and it's called SAILS.
I've seen that one.
Assessment of Information Literacy. And both of those have been available for quite some years.
Yeah.
So it's a big enough issue.
Absolutely.
That National Testing Services have been involved.
Yeah. The next one, training for distance education students. The quote is, proper training should be available for students working independently and utilizing the necessary technology. So we can't just let a student enroll, then they realize in the third week, hey, I can't do this. You know, we have to offer them some type of training.
It's not the third week, it's like the eighth week.
Okay, the eighth week. I was going to say first week. Yes?
I'm just thinking about the time factor because I know you guys
almost
need
done.
This.
Half of these I don't have to deal with.
What I was going to say is this. Go to this if you need to cross-reference on this. Do that so the faculty can get their points out when it comes to the concerns on this and we can take a vote.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm ready. Shoot.
Shoot. You want something harder?
Not good. Okay, so we're moving on to the standards
document.
Everyone
has received this probably more than once. Everyone has read the document. If you have questions or concerns relating to this, now is the time.
Keep in mind, this is a draft, and we'll just change whatever needs to be changed. The most crucial items on here are the questions that are going to go on to the course outline templates. So curriculum committee could start working on getting these courses we've been delivering approved locally.
So please wait to be recognized so that we don't end up with chaos and everyone gets to be heard.
Is it going to be that bad?
Yeah. It can be.
Oh, right. Bill.
While looking through this document on distance education, I appreciate the amount of time and energy that you guys put in to try to go out and find all the information. I felt that there was a very big hole in the middle of it dealing with procedures for the students that actually enroll in distance education so far as, should they be allowed to enroll in their first semester here? Should a student that does not have a C average be allowed to take courses in the distance ed environment? If so, do we want to give that person like 6 months to make up their grade? That kind of stuff. Also, the type of assessment, we have talked now about that, but I didn't actually see that inside of this particular presentation.
Assessment for?
Students.
Students, like, making sure that the person can take the class.
Yeah, I'll just give you a 2 second history on what this is. This is a document that is probably going to change 25 times over the next 2 or 3 years. It wasn't our intention to tell anybody here what should go into this. The only thing that we put into this are things that one have to go into it, so we could move forward, so other committees on campus can move forward. This is not anywhere near a mature document by any means. So it is just a draft, so certain committees can do certain things with your blessing.
The other thing that I would like to see on all drafts from all committees here at the college is some sort of a time date stamp on it, because I never know which one I'm looking at. I don't know which version I'm looking at. And I would ask that perhaps we could do that with our documents here at the school.
So we probably need a standard for the institution on,
like, maybe the date
documents.
And the time. Am I hearing you say that you would like this document to be amended sometime in the future with details on student assessment or assessment of student readiness?
Yes, and also having a version number on it.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, I know it's a starting point, George. I told you I appreciate the amount of time. I know that
you're not going to hurt my feelings.
I know that we have 25 things to go on this. We were just thrown the ball.
Maybe we should say, what things in here do you want to take out today that need more discussion? Because I'm sure there are things. Would that be a better way to approach it?
It's a good question, Brian.
No, I don't have an answer to that question, but just a comment on Bill's. If I understand correctly, Bill, on page 3 and on page 8, student skills and learning expectations are listed, at least in this document. At the bottom of page 3, what do you expect, what skills are students expect to have?
Right.
And on page 8, student, at the top, and maybe elsewhere too, student competencies for online instruction. So the document, I think, does incorporate very specifically types of skills that are need to be ascertained for a student to enroll in these classes. That's what you're asking.
Well, that's part of it, but all, like, on the first semester that they show up here at our institution, I'm not sure that they should be put into distance education classes.
Unfortunately, because of the law, we can't stop them from being in that class. Paul and then Robert.
I just wanted to kind of reflect on what is discussed. I think we don't have any mechanism that, like you mentioned, we cannot limit them not to take any distance ed classes. But we don't have any mechanism that allows us to assess the student and tell you're not ready for this. So I guess we'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Robert?
I would like to ask the Senate leadership to provide a copy of this famous law. Because I always hear about this law, which says that we can't possibly address the fact that, as we all know, our community students do disastrously badly in every type of distance ed class. And I just have the sneaking feeling it's not true. Because I've heard about other such famous laws. For example, the famous law which said we couldn't drop students if they didn't show up the first day. And perhaps my memory is going, but I seem to remember we just considered a resolution which said there was a board policy which says you can drop students the first day. In other words, what I'm saying is, I think Bill's right. We're going to end up with a situation where none of our best students in distance classes, the incarcerated students, will be able to take these classes. And what will happen is either people from 2,000 miles away or people who we can guarantee failure rates in excess of 80%. There's got to be some ways.
All right. Duly noted. David is next, then Louise, and I need to interject just a little bit. If I'm going to make an ass out of myself and assume that our counselors would have a copy of the statement that indicates we have to allow open access to all of our students in all of our classes.
Yeah. Well, that's the point that I was going to address.
David.
I'm not sure if there's a law out there, but I know that it's the follow matriculation procedures. And according to the matriculation procedures, there's not a specific rule that would allow us to enroll the student into a distance ed or an online or software. However, there's not a rule that would not allow us. We basically follow the prerequisites required for the course. and if the courts have been having to be relevant, it's a connection.
So one of the ways that you do that is by having the prerequisites in place. You put the prerequisite at the appropriate level of math and English, which means at least the student has some stated ability to be able to succeed in the courses. And then if you add a competency level in with the time management thing to do online courses, because a lot of programs, in fact, there's an information technology competency, there's a number of competencies that we talk about. And if you demonstrate that you have competency, then I don't care if you're a freshman or a high school senior, you should be able to take the class. But if you're a basic skills student and there's a prerequisite, and we put a prerequisite to all of our distance ed classes, we're fine.
Okay, that's it. George, it seems like everybody's going after what they want in it.
So is there anything in here that needs to be taken out?
Well, maybe we should just continue with the what we want to see happen down the road.
I'm a guest.
Since they're doing that
anyway,
we have assessment of student readiness and the prerequisite thing, I think is a good idea too, so that we know students going into online are ready. And then we have Brian and
Scott. The only thing I would see that I thought should be taken out, which I don't know, I forgot, I lost track of where it should be going, should be taken out, or at least clarified, is the statement that says instructors wishing to teach online must take at least one online course as a student. I'm not sure if that, Vicki and I had been having a discussion a couple of weeks ago, and maybe that statement needs to be clarified as to what an online class experience is, and what would qualify an instructor.
Take it out.
Take it out.
Is it a good idea? I mean,
take it out
and we'll and revisit it later. I mean,
a motion has been made on the floor by Brian, seconded by was it Philip?
Yeah.
By Philip, that particular statement be removed. Is there any discussion on that motion?
It's found on page 10. Page 6.
Discussion on the motion. Sue?
I respectfully disagree with my esteemed colleague. And Rumi. Now, I think having taken online courses myself and the fact that some of us in this room are of a certain generation, that we didn't have an opportunity to take online courses when we were younger, I don't think it's such a bad thing. I think maybe we've kind of forgotten what it's like to be students. And seeing what it's like as a student, I think it's of benefit. I don't think you can, having taught online as well, take what your grandparents' college education experience was and what your college education experience was and just say, I'm just going to plug that in and deliver it online, and then that's good enough.
How about a
workshop?
That
could work, I suppose.
A training module. Oh.
Bella and Kevin?
Sue, how much do you think the administration is going to pay us to go back to school?
A workshop would work, like Vicki just said.
Just because you take it out now doesn't mean you don't put something else back in later. I mean, if it's an issue, take it out. But keep it on the table, that's all. I mean, we have a long way.
We can't do that. We still have people on the floor. We have Kevin, Scott.
Motion to close debate and call the questions.
Just dated back to what Luis was talking about. I guess I just had a question. He was talking about throwing prerequisites at courses and that somehow is going to stop students from enrolling into distance ed classes. But I mean, it's all in the same, I mean, you can't have separate prerequisites for a course that's distance ed compared to a face-to-face, can you?
No.
I mean, that's the concern. If we just start throwing prerequisites at a class, that affects not only our distance ed students, but also our face-to-face, and I think that's something we don't want to get carried away with.
I'm going to raise this question or thought. If we're talking about online classes specifically, would it be appropriate, since we do have to do outline new templates for course outlines, to include on the online classes a prerequisite that falls under, say, a CIS, some sort of computer course that's required before you can take anything else here on the online? It's just a thought to throw out there. Kevin?
It's a question, first of all. When was this to be implemented? Because certain aspects of it are not in place yet, such as an online instructor becoming certified and something that hasn't been created yet. Okay. So if this was implemented, say, in the spring semester, we wouldn't have any mechanism to train instructors that would be instructing in this medium.
Right. There's definitely, let me answer this. There's definitely a great deal of catch up, and I'm not going to blame anybody for anything that happened for the last 2 years, but this is stuff that should have been discussed 2 years ago. Not that it wasn't, the attempt was there to discuss it, just never got discussed. We know right now we shouldn't be delivering online classes. We know that. They're not approved to deliver. We also don't want to stop whatever momentum faculty have that want to participate. Keeping in mind that this is a voluntary endeavor right now. So faculty choose to do it, to deliver online or not. I can't see us having anything in place probably for a year before we start actually. I mean, there's going to be pieces that are going to be implemented, but I mean, we got a lot of catch up to do. I mean, there's a lot of items just that aren't being dealt with right here.
The addresses of my esteemed colleague Sue on the point of faculty qualification. In the paragraph right above the statement that says you have to take an online course, it said on page 6, instructors can acquire the necessary fundamental skills through approved online certification course and continuing training, which will be offered through flex day and other opportunities throughout the academic year, and so on and so forth. So some acknowledgments of instructor prep to teach an online class is provided for without having to state that you shall take an online course. So
the motion is to remove just that part, the part about taking an online class.
Correct.
So that's the only thing they
would
remove.
On this document.
On the document.
But what section of the document, what item?
Page 6, paragraph 3. Third paragraph, third.
It also says it on page 5, first paragraph.
Mm-hmm. So third paragraph down.
With that, I'm going to go ahead and call for the question because we still need to vote on the document itself.
Okay, this right here. You're talking?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
The entire paragraph, right?
We'll change it.
Yeah, just take it out.
Yes. All right, calling for the question. All those in favor of removing this particular section where it says that we must take an online class, all those in favor of removing it, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Aye.
Three abstentions. Two, three.
One.
All right, so the motion did carry.
Anything else blatant like that you want out?
Anything else you want out? We have two things that you do want to see happening, and that has to do with assessment of the students and their readiness, looking at the possibility of placing some sort of prerequisites when it comes to taking a distance learning course. Is there anything else that you want to see plugged in at this time?
There was a statement inside the document, I can't remember what page it's on, I'm sorry, that did the amount of contacts that you had in a written course, a correspondence course.
Page 2.
Only because we deal with the incarcerated or gated community students. Sometimes you can't get 9.
I'm sure you can. I think you can. You get a syllabus receipt, right? That's 1. You give exams, how many exams do you give? You have 3. Them do homework, you give them feedback on that homework. That's 9. Easy. I think you can meet that. I think one of the issues with the number, and I know we talked about it in the committee, is universities, the student transfers, are they going to look at the number of times they were in contact with their instructor for that class before they decide whether or not to accept it?
My issue wasn't having a statement inside of the document, somewhere in one of those paragraphs, that accounts for lockdowns.
Lockdown.
That's all.
You can leave it out and discuss it. Just no courses will be approved through curriculum until that number is whatever you decide. You could decide it's one. It won't look too good on the self-study, but you can decide one. You know, but you need to decide.
David, Louise, Barb, and then we're going to call for the question.
These are asking for items that need to be considered when this document is being developed or so forth. I'm thinking that, are these courses going to be equivalent to what we currently have?
They have to be.
Okay. Yeah. So therefore, the issue of being a degree applicable or transfer and articulated, is that an issue?
Absolutely.
That's where the contact number became a question, okay. Because there could be an issue with institutions. All right.
But I think there needs to be more discussion.
Unfortunately, we keep confusing the term distance education and correspondence education, and they are two separate approvals. Correspondence, and according to the state and the accrediting people, distance education is only online, and correspondence is only correspondence. Therefore, when we refer to distance ed, we are referring to online education, not correspondence. So anything having to do with inmates is a separate approval, and correspondence is a separate approval versus distance ed. So that's what the issue.
Barb.
I was just, and this is something where I'm just a little vague, is you keep saying a specific number, and I'm like, can it be something that says appropriate to the course material, or something that is a vaguer term that covers a range, a number, it doesn't say, you have to do 11 contacts, you have to do 14 contacts. It is saying what's appropriate to the course. And our courses vary in length, and our courses vary in a whole lot of ways. You know, English may require, and I should say, you know, comp and reading, and have different requirements in terms of, if you're doing composition classes, you want to see something much more specific. Whereas, and maybe a larger number in completing a portfolio, a bunch of stuff.
I think the issue, especially with the state, is going to be not what's appropriate, but are you able to teach this class at the same standard, at the same rigor and level that you would be teaching the class if you were in a room with the students? So the higher the number of contact, regardless of what class or subject it is, the better chance we have of articulating that class. One more.
If we go back to having summer school, 9 contacts might not be appropriate.
It depends on how you, if you say it per week, you know, one per week, or if it's for the class, whether it's a summer class or fall, it doesn't matter.
But if you look at how many contacts we have now with face-to-face, what are the contacts?
What do you require of your
51 contacts when you have face-to-face. So if we're looking at 9, it's really nothing, and that's an appropriate number, but I agree with Bill. There probably needs to be a clause addressing lockdown with our correspondence. Now, that said, I did say there would be a call for the question. The original motion was to accept this draft. With the amendments.
Move to further amend.
May I suggest, and may George, Vicki, and Lisa will probably appreciate it, but future amendments, future concerns. If you have more concerns beyond the parameters of this meeting, please email me, email Richard, email George, Vicki, and Lisa, so that they can take those and look at whether or not it's appropriate. and what needs to be done. Like he said, this is a draft. They're willing to keep whittling, shaping, adding more clay to it, whatever they need to do to make this document work, not just for us, our college, but the state.
So moved.
Okay, so moved.
So moved.
He's agreeing with me, I think.
He's
agreeing with the boss for a change. So we're going to call for the vote. All those in favor, with a show of hands, please, so that Richard can get an accurate count. And if you're sitting on the floor, it means it's got to reach really high. All those in favor of approving the draft of this document, please signify with a hand in the air.
With the changes that were.
With the changes.
Oh, great. Okay.
I just got to start over because.
Okay. Make your decision now. Thank you.
If it's one, a yes, get two, the hands up.
Five. Right. Ten times.
Philip, yank on that tail, will you?
Okay, 23.
Okay, right now, 23?
Yeah.
All right, all those opposed, again with hands, please.
No.
There's one.
One.
Any abstentions with your hands? One, two, three, four, five. The yeas carried it. Now again, email.
Wait a minute, wait. It's your document now. You guys own it.
It's my document now?
It's a Senate document. You guys change it how you need to change it.
You're funny. All right. No, but you're still in the loop on this.
Yeah.
Because you guys were instrumental and then dragged me in during the hot summer.
Well, I appreciate it, and we're going to move forward in curriculum now to get course outline templates on the table. Once that happens, then they can be approved, and our court, and we could become locally legal, which is our goal right now.
Robert, will you make sure to email Richard and I and Sherry?
I'd rather make a statement.
Push me, please.
First, this document is excessively complex and doesn't meet me. What I was going to say is, why don't we just give George what he needs, which is the headlines, and leave all the details, which we will quarrel about endlessly out. Second, in six major areas, this is going to need to be bargained with the union. And I really recommend putting in a request to the admin that they push that as a reopener as early as possible so we can get it done. So I think everybody wants to get it done.
Did you want that stated for the record?
It's got to be fine.
And you're going to put those six items together?
I think Bill stated it beautifully. That's on the administration. They want
no,
to
no.
This change. They need to bring it forward.
But don't you have to identify the six items?
It's on the administration.
So what if you said nine? Do we got
to
find nine?
We should be able to talk with the administration, but yes, they need to come forth and do that.
We're not talking about you.
All right. I think as far as the union issues, they do need to be put on the agenda for the next CTA meeting because that's the more appropriate venue for discussing it. That says, but if there is anything that you can think of that is probably more Senate and academic, please email your three officers with that information, and I will definitely work it up so we start working on that, and I'll keep these three in the loop since they are the main construction crew on that. I need a motion to table the rest of the agenda until next meeting. David and Paul?
Next meeting is?
It's October?
26th. October 26th.
October. All right. All those in favor of tabling the rest of the agenda?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No? All right. I adjourn the meeting. Go. And somebody help Robert up off the floor in case he's down there, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was feeling better.